Matters brings to you a series of radio shows on the latest updates and happenings across industries, because eventually...
Hello everybody, and welcome to the People Matters radio show, Talking Matters. I'm Savita Vijayan, your host, and thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. We are really grateful to have so many of you listening to our program this afternoon, and this is our first episode of the second season of the radio show, bringing to you HR professionals that are transforming the face of HR with their work. It is such a pleasure to bring you to them live to our program. To learn about their journey, their learning, their message for the community. This is our second season of Talking Matters, where we interview HR leaders that are making a difference to the business, their journeys, their leadership learning, and their stories about talking that absolutely matters. Before I introduce our guest for today, I'm sure we are all waiting for, let me remind you that you can also follow our show on Twitter using the hashtag #TalkingMatters2. Please share your comments and your questions so that we can take them through the show live on air. We're also ready. You're listening to Talking Matters, a People Matters radio show on air. So exciting, aren't we? We are now more excited as we're going to begin our second season with our first show today. And as you're tuned in live, because we have with us our guest, Mr. Ilango R., Executive Vice President, Emerging Geography SBU and Global CHRO at Emphasis. At Emphasis, Ilango oversees all the aspects of HR. He has transformed the department into a business-critical function. He has been at the helm of integrating the organization through its many mergers and acquisitions. Ilango has been with Emphasis for a decade in HR and other important roles covering business operations, marketing, and corporate communications. Before Emphasis, Ilango served as a Senior Vice President, Human Resource for the Bank of America's offshoring unit in India. Throughout his career, he has worked with organizations like UB Group, the Raheja Group, and the Quality Inns India. It's an absolute pleasure to have you, Ilango, with us. Welcome, Ilango.
Thank you, Savita. I'm very delighted to be on the radio show and looking forward to a good chat with you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. So before we dive into our questions, I just wanted to ask you, how are you feeling right now, being on air?
Very good. Very good. I've had a good lunch and all excited to talk to you and the rest of the folks.
Great. Thank you so much. We will start with the first question to you straight away into our discussion. Remember, you can submit your questions on Twitter using the hashtag #TalkingMatters2 as we continuously take questions from Twitter to this program. So let's begin. Ilango, we have a first question to you. So what were some of the early influences in your life that shaped who you are today?
So, Savita, what I'll do is rather than give you the regular this thing, I'll give you a story amongst many other stories that I believe influenced. This is an incident. I think I was in class 7, and I was caught by my teacher reading a book in class. Instead of reprimanding me, she, of course, took the book, and at the end of the class when I met her, she rebuked me, and she, not for reading the book, but for the choice of the book, and said, I'll give you another book tomorrow. And the next day, promptly, she gave me another book and said, read it, and I want to hear a summary. And, you know, that just profoundly changed how I look at, teachers, how I looked at books. And I think each of these, and likewise my parents, they were very active role models. My wife, I met her when I was 21. I think these three, teachers, parents, and my wife, have tremendously influenced how I think, what matters, and what success or happiness is about. And recently, though you asked for early influences, recently my son, who's actually been my muse for writing my book, You Don't Need a Godfather, has been a tremendous influence with just his childlike utterances and questions, has helped me clarify a lot of things that sometimes seem very overwhelming.
Wow, that's wonderful. So your early influences started from the grade 7 that you were in. That's wonderful to hear. What got you where you are today? I mean, what have been the ingredients of your success? There would have been several bits and pieces that put you together to what you are today. So what are the ingredients of your success that as a leader?
Yeah, I think firstly, a lot of God's grace. second is tons and tons of hard work. And, you know, one thing I've realized is my ability to say no. I know when to say no and when to prioritize. And with all of this coupled with my willingness to take risks is what I think has been my recipe for success, if you call success, right? It's a little too early to say you're successful. And I'll give you a few examples of risks that I've taken, right? For instance, in 1998, I was working for a large, $1.2 billion conglomerate. I quit that to join a $25 million, 600-people software company. People thought I was crazy, but, you know, it was a risk that worked out really well. This $25 million company turned out to be a billion-dollar company, gave me tremendous opportunities, and today I run HR for a billion-dollar company and a 300-crore business simply because of taking that risk. And I can, you know, talk about many, many such opportunities that I've taken. And people ask me, saying, if I were to do one thing from your success story, what would that be? And I keep telling people, when opportunities come your way, grab them with your hands, legs, everything, and give it your best shot. For many of us, what we are doing is we're looking for the next best opportunity when the opportunity is right on your table. Would be what I'd leave for our listeners.
Right. That's absolutely great. While we are in this question, there's a follow-up question. So, with the success that you have had, what is your greatest struggle as a leader? What do you and how do you manage to do with deal with that struggle?
For me, I'll answer this in three parts. Right, at a business level, clearly, with the markets changing so rapidly, there's so much of disruption. Right, what worked for you yesterday doesn't work for you today, and things are just changing at a rapid pace. How can I, while it's quite existing, also it can be quite overwhelming. And I keep asking myself, saying, how do I stay abreast of all these changes, and how do I make sure my behavior changes to adapt to the new world, and what can I do to make sure my team members are adapting and not getting stuck in the old world? That is at a very business level. At a people level, lately, actually, the last 6 months, one of the things that I've been struggling with is, how do I repay the trust of my team members? You know, when I look around, particularly as we are going through a huge transformation journey, I see that team members across are reposing trust and doing a lot of discretionary effort to make sure that we're successful. Sometimes I stay awake saying, how do I repay the trust and the hard work that people do? That's the second part. And the third is just, as you start getting successful, the tendency to get complacent, the tendency to get overconfident is always there. My struggle is to say, how can I eat at each time, say, you know what, this is not good enough, I got to do more, and keep the same fire in the belly that I had when I started out.
Wow, that's a wonderful, inspirational thing that you just said, that you need the fire in the belly even after having the success that you are at right now. Right now, we are in conversation with Mr. Ilango R., Executive Vice President, Emerging Geography, SBU, and Global CHRO at Emphasis. Tweet your questions at a Twitter handle using the hashtag #TalkingMatters2 or email your questions to our inbox, pranav.gupta@peoplematters.in. Ilango, while we're just going to move on to the next question. So what is one of the key lessons that you learned along the way while you were grappling to the success bit that you have been as a leader now. So what is the key lesson, one lesson that you think you might have learned along the way?
This is a very cliched statement, but you know, one of the things that I figured out that kept me afloat is this too shall pass. Both success and failure, every time you're down in the dumps, nothing's going your way, you tend to get bogged down and say, I want to give it up and go. I always keep saying, you know, this too shall pass. And when I'm at the peak of everything, like they say, when you're really good at what you do, when you play cricket, the ball looks like a watermelon and you just can't but hit it out of the park. Even at that time, I keep reminding myself, this too shall pass, right? It just brings in a tremendous calmness and a tremendous ability to focus on what needs to be done and not get carried away either by success or bogged down by failure.
Wow, that's wonderful. If you have had... I'm sure you have had a to-do list. Everyone has a to-do list. Would you have maintained a stop doing or a not to-do list ever? And what do you think, what are the points that fall into them for you?
You know, stop doing is a very, when you ask me that question, I get scared. I'll tell you now, what am I trying to do over the last 6 or 9 months is I'm trying to stop giving gyan. I keep hearing from my son saying, Papa, just don't give me gyan. And, you know, as you get older, you realize that you are becoming what you hated. So that's one thing I'm trying to see. How can I stay relevant? How can I try and narrate stories but not get very preachy and gyani, right? So that's one. But through the years, you know, many things. The other stop doing now is I just love sweets. You know, you give me a box of chocolates, I'll finish it in a few minutes. I have over the last 6 months said I'm not going to touch sweets at all. And that's been a big stop. I do it for 3 months and then I break it every now and then. And the other stop is try and stop working too much and do more personal stuff. Maybe read more books, go out cycling, go out running. Those are things that I'd like to do.
Wow. So you have a sweet tooth there. That's something that I don't think our listeners would have known till today. Thank you, listeners, for tuning into our Talking Matters program, a monthly radio show where we get on first Fridays of every month. Our guests are on show are successful, inspiring leaders. You could tweet your questions to our Twitter handle, #TalkingMatters2. Right now, we are in conversation with Mr. Ilango R., Executive Vice President, Emerging Geographies SBU and Global CHRO at Emphasis. Ilango, before we move into our next question, we have a couple of questions that have come on our inbox right here. So one of them is talking, which is a little off what you have spoken so far. So what is worth fighting for and what is not worth fighting for? Is there something that you think that you should give up at some point in time and something that you think that you should fight for all through?
It's a very tough question, huh? if there is one of the things that I've decided is if it is about having the last word, if it is about proving that you're right, if it is about I told you so, it is better to give it up and have the other person walk away feeling good and allowing them to save face. What is worth fighting for is if you believed in something around principles, values. What is worth for fighting is if you is for your team. I think these two matter, right? If it's something around your principles, values, somebody is doing something or your organization is doing something that is not right, don't give up whatever happens. If you your team gives your heart and soul for you, you have to figure out you should do whatever you can to take up for them and fight for them because you're only as successful as your team.
Hmm. That's wonderful. We have another question on Twitter. So how do we tackle mediocrity in workplace? How do we tackle mediocrity in workplace when we have the intention of doing a lot good, but there's mediocrity in workplace that happens? So how do we handle that? A young HR leader is asking you that question.
Every organization, I saw this question from Anna, very good question. I see every organization, the normal curve plays itself, right? There are brilliant people, there are mediocre people or average people, and there are people who are bad. The way I look at it is everybody is good at something. You just need to make sure you fit the, you know, you don't fit a square peg in a round hole. Help them find something else. The challenge that I have is, when people start thinking, oh, I'm good and everybody else is average, then we have a problem. I always say that if I find that I'm the smartest in the room, then I should go to some other room because this room doesn't need me anymore. But you have to be very, our ability to, the challenge with that, Savita, is our ability to assess our capability is very low. We tend to overestimate our capabilities. And therefore, look at other people and they say and think that they're mediocre. We should avoid that. Would be my request.
Wonderful. There's a follow-up question to this from Manar on Twitter. So, how do we tackle leaders or people at senior levels who seem to know it all and refuse to listen?
You know, the best, at least what I found works for me, Manar, is when you get very senior, you get senior because you're successful, because you're egotistical and you're narcissistic. Trying to interrupt them or trying to tell them it's not working is not going to work. Best is listen to them completely and then present your point of view, either then after you've heard them or, at a later stage. One of the things that I found works is you've got to figure out what works for people, right? For some people, emails work. For some people, Excel sheets work. For some people, PowerPoints work. Sometimes, for some people, a quiet conversation as you're walking to the car works. You've got to figure out what communication style works and adapt it to them because you can't change them. They're far too senior for you to change. You've got to figure out how you change yourself so you're able to get what you want. Is it right that they don't listen, that they're arrogant? Obviously, it's not right, but you can do nothing about it, so don't waste your time about who they are and focus on what you can do to get them to listen to you. And even the most arrogant hotshot will listen to you if you bring value and you bring it in the way that they want to hear it.
Wow, very, very well said, very well said. While we are moving into our next question, What is it that you would like to advise your younger self? So you have reached a success level that you are at today. So any advice that you want to give your younger self?
Yeah, no, if I were able to go back, I'd ask myself to relax a little more, take time to enjoy a win. I remember, one of my schoolmates came in and said, hey, Langur, do you remember both of us were in this play and we came in first when nobody expected us to? For the life of me, I couldn't remember. And when I asked somebody, they said, Elango, you were so damn focused on what needs to be done. You were unemotional when you won something. I'm looking back and saying, I wish I had taken time to celebrate some of the wins and really feel good and not just keep running from one to the other. And the big thing, of course, my mom passed away a couple of years ago, and now I realize that I should have spent a little more time. It's too late to think about it. I'd say if I were to go back and change a few things about myself, I'd relax a little more, not be so wound up, enjoy my wins, and take time to bask in the wins. And third is spend more time with my parents before it becomes too late.
Wow, wonderful. This is so thrilling, and we are left with about 8 minutes on the show, and I want to make sure that we take more and more questions from audience. So we have another question in my inbox, which reads, the darkest stage of any day, project, initiative is perhaps just before the threshold of success. So what is the most important thing needed to breach this threshold for success?
What is it required? I think a lot of hard work, definitely. Second is you need good team members around you, particularly if you're doing a project. And third is persistence, right? Many times we see failure not because we didn't try hard enough. We gave up too quickly. If I understood the question, that would be, I mean, this would be my suggestion. But if it is not, please ask them to tweet. I'd be able to answer them better.
Sure, sure. I will definitely do that. We have another question on Twitter from Vinita, which reads, how do you deal with the challenge of complex business environment and aligning HR process and practices? It is so complex. So how do you deal with it? Is it simple or is it simplicity or planning or how do you deal with it?
So thank you for the question, Vanita. I think I changed this a bit because that's something that I struggle with, right? We have three different businesses that I support in 15 different countries. We've gone back and said rather than saying HR processes, that people have to comply with HR processes, we've gone back and said, what results are you looking for? What legal statutes that I have to follow? How can I make HR processes enable business results rather than the other way around? Tremendously helps. At the base of it, HR is about retention and attraction. Are you able to bring in the right people at the right time, at the right cost, and keep them long enough for your company to be profitable? Answer those questions, and I'm sure you will be able to align it to the business needs that you want. Your processes should be around these. And I've always said the processes are just three: pay, growth, and brand. What is the brand that you helped create for your company? What is your compensation and rewards strategy? And what is your career growth strategy? These three will determine how you attract and retain. And as long as you break it down to that fundamental level, you'll be able to do that for any business, however complex or simple.
Wow, that is a wonderful mantra, Ilango, I must say. We have Manar asking a follow-up question. Is it advice to be always diplomatic? Yes, very much. Okay, can you hear me? Ilango?
Savita, can you hear me?
Yes, Ilango, can you? Ilango, can you hear me? I think we have had some technical issues here, but I'm sure Ilango is just going to join us back in and dial in. He has been talking about his early influencers in life who shaped him who he is today as the teacher, his wife, and his son. It has been a fantastic experience to have him share this with us, because I'm sure we as he as an influencer, we have never known of this of him. He also mentioned about hard work and ability to say a no to be a part of a successful leader as of now. I think we have Ilango back in. Ilango, you are there?
Yeah, I'm back. Looks like you threw me out because you didn't like what I said, Savita. I've learned to be nice.
No, not at all. You have been giving a wonderful mantra of how is it that, one should deal with complex business environments and aligning HR process and practices. We have another follow-up question from Manar. It's advised to be always diplomatic at workplace and not a straight talker. What has been your experience in this so far? What do you think as a leader?
My, at least the yardstick I measure myself is I will never be rude or disrespectful, but I will state my viewpoint as it is. However, one thing I have to be very conscious of is context. You don't have to say everything on the face as it is every time. Sometimes it's okay to be diplomatic in public and in private give them the true picture as you would. It is something that you learn, right? You have to first build your credibility. You first have to build trust. Then this will come about. But largely that's what I follow. As I will never be disrespectful. I will never be rude. And I will be straightforward. If I don't want to say something, I'll desist from commenting. But I will never say things that I don't want to say. Or I don't want to hear in public.
Wow. Thank you so much, Ilango, for this. We have another question in from our inbox that I can read. What is your vision of HR? What is your dream for HR?
So one of the things that I've been passionately talking about in my People Matter columns and in other sessions that I speak at Savita is I'd love to see HR become as respected and as valued as the finance or the sales teams. I'd love for HR to be seen as the key enabler between success and failure, for which I think we as HR professionals, I think there are many good people. HR has moved many leagues over the last few years, particularly with institutions like yourself, People Matters, coming in, you're encouraging conversations, and you're bringing about a sense of learning. But I think we've got some more to go. Clearly, my aspiration would be is to see HR be one of the most important functions in making a business successful, and the realization by the markets, by the regulators, and by the powers that be.
Wow, I'm sure that's what it is right now, and I'm sure if that is not what it is, it's definitely going to turn pages to that bit, what you just said, Ilango. We have another question in from Rahul here. How do you see Indian HR landscape aligning itself to building futuristic workplaces?
Rahul, great question. It's something that I keep asking myself too. I think there are some parts of HR that are really galloping ahead, right? I can see things like performance management, compensation management, and reward. You can see a lot of gamification coming in rewards. I can see a lot of innovative practices coming in compensation. Performance management, including emphasis, I can see many companies doing away with normal curves and things like that. I think in those areas, we are getting futuristic, and I think HR in India is doing a very good job. I think parts that we could do better are around staffing. Staffing, in my mind, is still an art and not a science. We still rely too much on grades and colleges that people come from and don't do enough due diligence around staffing. There's a long way that we could go to align to a new reality is what broadly I'd answer, Rahul. Great question. I could spend half an hour, but we just have a few minutes. I'd love to. I like this idea, Rahul. I may even write a column on this for People Matters.
Wow, that has been inspirational. Thank you, Rahul, for this question. We have 1 minute to go, and we have one last question that we definitely want to take from Manar again. What advice you have for HR who aspire to be a CHRO like you? What is it? What is the one advice? I'd like to club another question with it. What is the one advice that you'd like to give the budding HR professionals to reach success that you are in right now?
I'd actually give two, Savita, and thanks for the question.
Sure.
One would be build depth in HR. Take time to do all HR roles. I see a lot of younger people come in and say, I'll only do training. I won't do line HR. I won't do staffing. this is, you can't be successful as a CHRO or as an HR professional if you haven't done a stint in all the functional areas early in your day. Second is, I urge every HR professional to go out and do a business role at least for 2 years, because then their context and their acceptance and relevance of their solutions will be tremendous.
Thank you so much, Ilango. And thank you all for sharing your thoughts, your questions, and identifying the key takeaways from the discussion with the larger community with so much of generosity. With this, we come to an end of this super exciting radio show. We want to thank Ilango for being a fantastic first guest to our second season. Thank you so much, Ilango.
Thank you, Savita. I enjoyed it, and thanks for all the listeners. And good luck to People Matters in this season.
Thank you so much. Thank you, each one of you, for tuning in live today and on air. We'll be back again on the 13th of March at 12 noon, as 6th of March happens to be a holiday. So the next Friday is when we'll be back again. And we'll be back again with yet another interesting speaker. We look forward to welcoming you to our upcoming program. You'll receive a link in your inbox if you're registered for this show, and also you can receive the link on the handle at People Matters 2. As we close for our radio show, we wish you a great and inspiring day ahead. Thank you so much, everybody.